This is episode 196 on February 2nd, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you?
You know, I am fantastic, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I think I've had a good week, and it's almost over. Woohoo!
There you go. Did you celebrate Groundhog Day?
I forgot until I saw somebody had posted an Instagram photo of them watching Groundhog Day on their computer.
Oh.
So what was the verdict?
Well, I'll just explain it real quick if anybody doesn't know what Groundhog Day is. But here in the United States, we have lots of ridiculous holidays, if you want to call it that. And today is Groundhog Day. And basically what that is it's a day where in a little town called Punxsutawney in Pennsylvania, if a certain groundhog comes out of his hole and sees his shadow, then that means that we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. And if he doesn't see his shadow, then it means it's going to be like spring-like, you know, from now up till spring, I guess. And I'll tell you, Joe, it has been cloudy as all get out for like an eternity. I actually forgot what the sun was. And then today, wouldn't you know, on Groundhog Day, it's nice and sunny, and that dang groundhog saw his shadow. So now we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. But I'll tell you what, I'm actually fine with that because we have barely had anything that qualifies as winter so far in this part of the country.
We had like 5 days of below freezing weather, and that was it. It's been in the 60s and 70s this week. It's just insane. So for the groundhog to say that we're going to have more winter, I'm like, okay, good luck.
Oh man, 6 more weeks of 60s and 70s. How will I ever survive?
Oh no. Yeah. No, I grew a beard for the cold weather since I work outside, and it's just I've been sweating in my beard. Just don't tell my wife; she might make me shave it off. have you done any photography?
Yeah, I sure have. This past weekend, we ended up going up to Cleveland. And there's a fantastic botanical garden in Cleveland that is very conveniently called the Cleveland Botanical Garden. And they every year, pretty much during the month of February, they have like an orchid show.
Yeah.
So it started this past weekend. And so we went – we've gone I don't know how many years in a row now, like – probably this might be our 3rd or 4th year going to it. And so I took a bunch of pictures there, both with my iPhone and with my Sony camera. It was good. I wasn't as inspired this year for some reason. I don't really know like what my problem was. Normally I really like going and photographing the flowers. You know, the whole thing's like indoors this time of year.
Yeah.
And they have like this whole big indoor area that part of it's set up like the desert of Madagascar.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. And there's, you know, they got some bird, like different birds in there. And there's like some tortoises that just kind of roam around. And then you go through like a set of double doors, and then you go into this other part that's like a rainforest. And that's where like they have the bulk of the orchids is in there. Yeah. And it's really pretty cool. There's a lot of neat birds that they have in there that just kind of fly around. And they didn't. There were some butterflies. We were there on the very first day, and they hadn't like released butterflies yet, so we didn't see a whole lot of butterflies. But I guess in a couple weeks they'll release butterflies, so there'll be like tons of butterflies flying around. But in any case, it's pretty cool. And the nice thing about it is normally we go like the last weekend of the event, and it's usually pretty crowded and stuff. And this time we decided to go on the very first day, and we were like, oh, this is probably going to be a terrible decision. But there was like nobody there, so it made taking pictures like pretty easy. And they even do have like a photographer time. It was like the next day, like for a couple hours in the morning, where they let photographers come in and bring their tripods and everything.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, I didn't do that, but I got a few pictures I liked. But for the most part, I don't know. Maybe I'm like getting over my desire to photograph flowers or something. I'm not really sure.
What?
No. I don't know. It was still cool, though. I like going to it.
Yeah. We have a botanical garden over here about 20 minutes from my house. It's just over the border into Gaston County, North Carolina. It's called Daniel Stowe Botanical Gardens. And we got a season pass or a membership 1 year, and took the kids a couple times, and it was fun. The Christmas time was pretty cool. They had some lights out and everything, but we do have a indoor greenhouse to be able to go in and see some of the more tropical flowers. And I don't know if they have butterflies. They may, but yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know, just to see it. And I think they had we went to one event where it was for the kids. And so they had like puppet shows and I want to say they had maybe a couple rides or something like that. But, you know, try to make it more of a kid friendly family day. But yeah, that's cool.
Cool. So what'd you do this week? Anything good?
Let's see here. I, you know, took some pictures of my kids. My kids like to dress up, and my two oldest were going to the ones that will say, oh, let's do this. We're going to act this out. And we need some actors. And so they pull my 3-year-old and 1-year-old in. And so my oldest says, we need somebody to be a dragon. And of course, they pick the 1-year-old. And it's put a little baby dragon costume on her. And my 3-year-old was the princess, so she went and got the stool, and she was like the princess in the tower. And the 1-year-old was the baby dragon, and my son was going around with the sword vanquishing the dragon. So I got a couple pictures of that, and I took some video of my youngest just kind of doing some silly stuff. And it's funny because I have the 128 gig iPhone now, and I keep thinking, oh, I'm about to run out of space. And then I look and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I got plenty of room on here. That was always the thing that I would worry about when I had my 16 gig iPhone 6. And so not having to worry about space has been a lot of fun, and kind of not life changing, but you know, just it makes me think differently now when I go to get video or take a bunch of pictures. But today I was working in the little town of York, South Carolina, and I was driving through the downtown area, and the sun was just coming up. It actually had been up for probably about an hour. And I drove past this church, and all of a sudden, boom, there was just like direct sunlight on it. And it was just like, ooh, I need to park. And so I parked my truck and walked down the street and started taking pictures of this church. And so I started off in landscape mode, was taking pictures, and I had to get closer because I had overhead power lines that were kind of, you know, messing up the image, and street lights and power poles that were kind of looming into the corners. And I was like, I need to get closer. But getting closer doesn't always help the situation. It causes other problems. So I got closer and decided to use the panoramic to do a wider angle shot than what the native lens had. And so I took a picture and I was like, oh yeah, it looks okay. And I'm like, oh, I need to do it in black and white. And so I decided to use Snapseed and shoot it in black, take it and turn it into a black and white image. And I posted it in the Facebook group and on Instagram. So if you are not on Facebook, you can actually go to my Instagram feed and take a look at it. But I really liked it, and I got a lot of good feedback from it. So it was fun.
Yeah, that was a really awesome picture, and it was just nice to see something different from you. That was different for you.
It's not a car. the clouds were they were just phenomenal. Just you couldn't have, you know, it was almost like somebody had taken a stamp and just stamped these clouds, because they were all like little cotton balls that were up in the sky, and it just added to the background. I kept, like my wife said, oh, I like the clouds. And it really did help the image. And of course, having contrast, you have a very light building up against some hard shadows. The contrasts were pretty amazing too. So I had fun with it. But
today, that's the idea, right?
Yeah. Today, actually, I got something in the mail. And I will tease you guys right now, because I want to talk about it later. I actually got the new stylus case with the revolver. And so when I got home from work today, it was there waiting for me. So I slipped my phone into the new stylus case. And so I'm looking forward to playing with it. But I have already have a few things that I've noticed that are a little bit different. And so I want to talk about those later.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and do this. We have a couple, a news item to talk about, so I'm going to play this.
News team, assemble!
All right, Matt, why don't you go ahead and start us off with our news.
Oh, yeah, okay, news. okay, so Snapseed had an update this week, and they added a new feature, which is totally awesome. They added the ability to adjust curves. So that's that adds like a really, that's just a really big feature, you know, for editing your pictures. And if anyone doesn't really know what curves is, I'm trying to think exactly how to explain what curves are, or the curves tool rather. But basically, it's basically a tool for like adjusting the tones. Yep. To brighten and darken, or to add contrast. Yep. To a picture, and it just gives you a lot more control than just using like brightness or contrast or playing with shadows and highlights and stuff. It really just gives you a lot more control. So it's really a very nice feature. And the cool thing too is that they added, just like all their other tools and filters and everything, they added presets. So if you're not really sure like what to do with curves, you can always use the presets. But when you click on each preset, you could see what it's doing to the curve. And that'll kind of help you learn, you know, like how to use it, I guess.
Yeah. And other apps that have curves, this allows you to not only move the line in any direction you want to, but you can also add points to that line and make some subtle adjustments in between. There's really nothing you can do to mess this up. You can, you know, just start swinging it around and doing different movements with the curves, and you'll see where, you know, you'll either gain details or lose details, like you would with the contrast tool. The colors will become, you know, sort of either muted or are very saturated, or certain colors will disappear when you do the curve. So it is a fun tool. It's a nice tool to have. But I think I still like the sliders and being able to make those adjustments in the image. But go through and take a look at the different presets, and you can see what the curves will actually look like in those settings, so that, you know, in the future you go, oh, I just need to add maybe a point here and a point there and make some slight adjustments in between, and I'll have that same effect that I had that I really liked. So it is a good tool to have. It sort of like messes with the histogram.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's a good tool, definitely. And it's something, I don't know, we got to figure out a way to maybe do a tutorial or something on it.
Yeah. We'll get Mark involved. So that's great. All right.
So there was other news. Or there's other news that's not official news, but I felt like it's kind of worth talking about. Yeah. So I was perusing some photography stuff and came across several articles, actually. Pretty much all the tech blogs and stuff like that pick this up, but apparently Instagram has, in beta version, the ability to add basically like an album of pictures. So everyone has actually already seen this feature if you use Instagram at all, and you've noticed advertisements in your feed on Instagram. A lot of those advertisements, you know, if you swipe to the left or right, there's more than one image to the advertisement, right?
Right.
And so basically that is the album's feature right there. It's just that the, you know, entities that are paying, you know, to advertise on Instagram have had that feature since, well, it's been more than a year now. But it looks like maybe it'll be coming soon for the rest of us. Now, right now, the beta version of this is only on Android, which is kind of surprising to me, but that's just kind of what's going on there. And the people that have seen it so far, for whatever reason, have the ability to make an album, but not the ability to actually post it to their feed. So you're not going to see any regular Instagram users posting albums quite yet. But from what it sounds like is, let's say you took a trip over the weekend, you took a whole bunch of pictures, and you don't want to flood your Instagram with individual pictures, you know, from the trip. What you'll be able to do is select, you know, one picture and like long press on it, and then that'll bring up something where it'll give you the option to add up to 10 photos. So you could add 10 photos, but you'll be able to edit and add filters to each one of those photos individually, which is kind of cool if you're, you know, if you're still using filters and stuff on Instagram. At least it's not like a global thing where whatever you do to the first picture automatically applies to all the rest of them. And then when you post it, basically, you know, when someone scrolls by and they see your picture, I forget, there will be like a little arrow or something off to the side that would indicate that there's more pictures. And if they, you know, just swipe to the left or right, they'll be able to go through the rest of your pictures to see your like album, basically. So that's a feature that it's not confirmed, but it seems likely that it's coming. And I don't know. I guess it's cool. I mean, I could see myself possibly using it. What do you think?
I can use it, but probably what I'll end up doing is creating 10 of the same images and just putting them in there so that people will just see the same one over and over.
But like as a joke?
Yeah, well, sort of. But then, you know, it always makes them wonder, did he actually put a different photo in there? You know, so
it, well, one thing you could do is you could do 10 different edits.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't decide which one I like the best.
Or just go in and take one little thing out and see if they can find it. Just start
one
messing
of these
with people.
Pictures is doing its own thing.
Yeah. One of these is not like the other, and just make them all the same and see what they say. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence whether I like it or not. When it happens, I'm not gonna, you know, probably jump on it unless it's, you know, for a particular event, like maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I would actually use it. Like, I don't use the live feed. I barely use the video. So I don't know. I guess I would have to have a pretty good reason to use it. I don't know if I want to have, you know, albums on there like I do with Facebook. But, you know, I may change my mind.
Well, it's basically just another way that Instagram's becoming more like Facebook in a way. But I don't know. I think there will probably be a lot of people that currently use stories in Instagram that will also use albums because, you know, you'll be able to, you know, post pretty much probably the same stuff that you're posting in stories, but it'll be permanent. You know, it won't go away after 24 hours.
Sure.
Which is, that's kind of like the big reason I don't use stories, because I don't know, there's just something about it going away. Like, if I feel that it's something I want to post, I don't want it to disappear. That's just me, I guess. But, you know, a lot of people use stories or whatever, but I think it's kind of silly.
I have a hard time with it because, you know, I don't think I have anything that's interesting for people to want to actually see.
Well, you don't. That is true.
So I'm like, okay, that's great. I'll just put up a picture here and there when I feel like it. But, you know, some people are good with it. I'm not very good at doing video of myself, I guess I could do some video, you know, while I'm up in the bucket or something like that to get a view, but I just, I stick with the stills, but
it'll be more exciting life.
What's that?
You need a more exciting life.
I have 4 kids.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool. I'm curious to see what's going to happen and whether or not they're going to roll it out. And we'll keep everybody up to date on that. Cool. All right. Any other news?
There probably is something. I just don't know what it is.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. Last week we talked about motion, and if you haven't listened to that podcast, by all means, listen. We had a few people. Dave was one of them, and I think it was Rob who had tried out the motion in their photography and actually did pretty good. Dave was using, I believe, the slow shutter cam and did a self-portrait, which I thought turned out really well.
Yeah, I can't believe how sharp he was.
Yeah.
In it. That boggles my mind.
I wonder how many times he tried it.
I don't know. But in any case, that was awesome.
I think he'll tell us in a second. But probably. But yeah, it was. I was actually surprised on how sharp the image was, especially because the slow shutter cam takes different stills and meshes them all together. He said he used it with a front-facing camera. It's fun to see people go and try these things out after we talk about them. Dave says he tried it twice. Okay, cool. But this week we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We've had this subject before on the show, but it is good to always bring up. Today we're going to talk about depth of field. Depth of field is important when it comes to photography, whether there's no depth of field or there is very little depth of field, or whether there's just a whole lot. And it is, did I get rid of it? Oh, no, I got it right here. Okay. The definition of depth of field: the distance between the nearest and the furthest objects that give an image judged to be in focus in the camera, which means the depth of field is whatever you have in your image. If it's in focus, it's within the depth of field. Everything else.
How about this for a simpler definition? It's basically the range of sharp focus in a photograph.
That'll work.
There we go.
So outside of that range of depth of field, everything will be blurred. Not like a motion blur, but out of focus. And, this is a big feature on the DSLR cameras, the SLR film cameras. When you have a very large aperture, your depth of field is very small. The smaller your aperture is, meaning if it's like an F11 through F32, you're going to have everything in focus, because what you're doing is you're directing the light to be specific as it goes through that small aperture, and it leaves very little for things to be out of focus. So how does that translate to iPhone photography or smartphone photography? Lately, in the latest versions of the iPhone, we have gotten some quote unquote pretty large apertures with our cameras. It's hard to say, is it truly a 2.2 or a 2.0 aperture or a 1.8 when it's a tiny, camera? I don't know. I'm not an expert in that, but when you look at an SLR camera and the aperture is all the way open at say 1.8 on a lens, you can almost fit your camera phone through that aperture. I'm joking, but that's what it seems like. So to truly say that our cameras have that type of an aperture, I kind of have to chuckle a little bit. Now, I have noticed that there are many more times than not the opportunity to have a depth of field that is noticeable in when we take pictures has greatly increased with the new designs of the cameras. When you want to have a bokeh or a bokeh effect where the background is out of focus or the foreground is out of focus, you have to be almost, for the background to be up, out of focus, you have to be very close to your subject. So you're forcing the camera to focus on the closest object to your camera. And then vice versa, if you force the camera to focus on the background, you can bring things up close to the lens to make them out of focus. So you do have those options when it comes to the iPhone or any of the other smartphones that are out there. But, you know, how does that apply to us as iPhone photographers, as smartphone photographers? So, Matt, how would you use the depth of field with your photography?
For most of the photography that I do, most of my photography is landscape photography. Yeah. So, with landscapes, a lot of the times you kind of want everything throughout the entire scene to be in focus. So that makes photographing landscapes with the iPhone really easy because I don't even really have to think about it because it's pretty much going to be in focus. But there's other types of photography that I do sometimes, like I mentioned at the beginning of this show, photographing the flowers, the orchids. A lot of times I want those pictures to have a shallow depth of field. And the reason for that is I want the focus part of my, not my pun, I guess. I want the focus of that image to be on the flower and not so much the noisy background, the cluttered background, all the leaves and the other plants and stuff that are behind that flower. I really just want the focus on the flower. And, it's definitely harder to do with the iPhone. It is possible. It just kind of depends on how close you can focus, as far as like how far away can you hold the phone from your subject and get it to focus, right. And then how far behind the subject is the background.
Sure.
So the closer you can get your phone and be able to focus it on your subject and the further the background is away from the subject, then the more likely you'll be able to achieve like a shallow depth of field look in your iPhone pictures. Another type of photography I don't do as often, but when I do, I still like to have a somewhat shallow depth of field is portraiture.
Absolutely.
I want people to focus on the face, not on whatever the background is. It's generally not important in the picture. So I want that to be blurred out. And, that's why, the new iPhone 7 Plus has portrait mode.
Yes.
Where it blurs the background, because that, it's just a more pleasing look to a portrait. That's generally, what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking of depth of field.
Yeah, they're having that portrait mode. It's still in beta, but it gives the iPhone 7 Plus the opportunity to be able to get those images that you'd normally get with a SLR camera. When you have the correct lens to be able to allow the light in and be able to have the aperture as open as possible, you can really tune out the background so that there is that tension again where the face is in focus and the background's out of focus, where you're drawing the eye towards your subject. Now, we also have that ability to do that with apps. And one particular app that I like to use is the Tada SLR, where I can go in and choose what I want to have in focus and what I want to have out of focus. There are other apps I can't think of right offhand that you can do the same thing with. And a lot of them will say, you know, you can look it up by trying to do bokeh or depth of field, look for apps that way. But what you're doing is you're masking. You're going in and masking, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's too blurry that it looks fake. I always try to make it as subtle as possible and allow for other objects that may be closer to retain the sharpness so that it has that natural look of foreground and background and what's in the depth of field and what's out of the depth of field. And there is a fine line whether you can see what looks fake and what looks real. And I have fooled a lot of people with some of the depth of field masking that I've done in my images. Another way of doing depth of field is using, what's it called? We just did the toy effect. What was that called again?
Tilt shift.
Thank you. A lot of your apps have the tilt shift effect, which allows you to sort of simulate a tilt shift lens. Now, what a tilt shift lens is it's a lens that has a pivot in the middle of the lens to tilt it and shift that image. And those lenses were first created for architecture, because when you are wanting to take a picture of a building, most times a very tall building, you don't have a floor that is high enough to be able to get the whole thing in view. But if you do, you're going to get a lot of capstoning. The capstone effect is typically the base is wide and the top is narrower, or vice versa. And so what tilt shift does is it allows the lens to correct capstoning, so that when you go to take a picture of a tall building, it looks like almost either similar to what the naked eye sees, or it just corrects the building to be proportional. And so people have found that tilt shift lenses have that sort of effect, that it looks like you have a foreground and a background that are out of focus, and then right in the middle, everything's in focus. Whether or not it's closer or farther, it kind of gives that that look of a narrow depth of field. So there are all sorts of things you can do with apps to be able to get those effects. And then, you know, I think people are even trying with lenses. When I had the B script, which Mark has right now, you can attach SLR lenses to them and be able to achieve a depth of field with those lenses, since pretty much those lenses out off of a camera are wide open. You know, it's at the full aperture range of whatever that lens is set for. So you can achieve those with external lenses and apps.
Yes. Yeah, there's like so many good apps. The one you mentioned, Tada SLR, is a fantastic app for trying to add depth of field to your pictures, or you know, like a shallow depth of field.
Yep.
I'll just call out a couple other ones I think are really good. There's another one that's really very similar to Tadaw SLR. It's called After Focus, and it's I think it's a very good app. Another one that I like that basically tries to mimic the way Apple's portrait mode works on the iPhone 7 Plus is an app called Patch. And it does actually a pretty darn good job. So basically what you do in that app is you load a picture in, and then it just kind of tries to intelligently figure out like what the subject is and keep that in focus and then blur out everything else.
Yeah.
I've played with it like a whole bunch of times, and I actually have like used it and you know, shared the pictures a handful of times. Usually it doesn't get it perfect. Like it actually literally never has gotten it perfect. I usually have to go in, there's like a masking brush, and you could paint in focus areas or erase them away. So, you know, I've had to go in and do some touch up, but it does a remarkably good job. And I've added some pictures to it that were kind of complex as far as the subject and everything, like where there was multiple people, and it did a really good job. And the touch up I had to do was actually quite minimal, you know, literally just maybe like a couple minutes with the masking brush and
nice.
You know, so, and it does a really good job. And then it has like basically different, it basically has like a five circles across the bottom, like a smaller, and they get bigger as they go to the right. And that just indicates like basically like an aperture size that you're mimicking. So if you pick the one on the left, which is the smallest circle, your background's going to be less blurry. And if you go the whole way to the right, the biggest circle, your background's going to be more blurred. So you have like a little bit of control there over the amount of the effect in a way.
Yeah.
There's another one that I haven't had a chance to play with as much, and it came out, I think it's put out by I believe the company is Brain Fever Media. I could be wrong on this, but they put out like apps like Lens Light and Lens Flare and Reflect and Circular, all those kind of apps. But they have one that's literally just called Depth Effects, and it's pretty much the same kind of deal where, you know, you pick a photo from your camera roll and you know, you throw it in there, and then you basically can you could pick like different kinds of blur. So they have like a bunch of different blurs going on, and then you could select like the amount of blur that you want to have in the picture. I'm not real sure that one has a masking function though, which is kind of silly, but it actually, it still has a pretty good effect, though. It does a pretty good job. So those are ones I like. And then Big Lens. I guess we'd be remiss to not mention Big Lens, which is almost like one of the originals from, you know, back in the day.
That's right.
That's still a good app also.
Yeah, all these apps are good. I'm actually going to see. I think I downloaded Patch. I need to get that one. The one thing I did recall is the last time I used Tadaw, they had made some upgrades that I didn't like. But one of the things I do like that they did, and they may have gone back and fixed it, but you can mask the area that you want to have out of focus, but they also allow for a gradient, meaning you can adjust it so that it'll kind of go from strong down to very light to not at all. And I like that, being able to do that gradient.
That's like kind of the technique that I almost always use when I'm using like After Focus or Tada SLR is so like basically I'll select, you know, my I'll just select my blur basically, and then I'll get all the masking done, and then at the end I'll change the way the blur is being applied to, like, I think it's called natural.
Yeah.
So basically it's kind of like a gradient from bottom to top of, you know, not a whole lot of blur to stronger as it gets to the top. And the reason I like that is because as you're getting towards, excuse me, the top of the photo, you know, a lot of times that ends up being like the trees or the sky or things that are like more distant, where the stronger blur effect doesn't really matter as much.
Right.
And I just find that it usually works really well, you know, especially if you have like the ground in the picture, which is going to be like in the middle or like the towards the bottom of your photo. It just looks weird if it's like really strongly blurred.
Yeah.
So if you're able to kind of get that gradient in there, that does wonders for making the blur look a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, cool. I hope this helps everybody understand a little bit about depth of field and how you can achieve it. One of the things that we are going to change with our Facebook group and those that are participating in our weekly photo challenge is Matt and I decided to whatever we talk about on this episode is going to be our weekly photo challenge. It only makes sense. And it took Matt to say it, you know, because he usually makes sense. So having said that, this week's weekly photo challenge is going to be depth of field. And I think it's going to be a great challenge because for a lot of people, they don't think about depth of field. And, having, you know, having this is going to, I think, broaden some horizons. And that's what we aim to do with the podcast and the weekly photo challenge. So I think this is going to be a good change to that feature. So having said that, let me bring up my soundboard real quick. Let me do this. It is time for our post pick of the week. And this week it is Matt's turn to pick.
All righty. So for the past couple weeks, we've been doing a challenge called Vertical Lines. And this was totally an awesome challenge. We got literally like the most creative pictures that I've seen in quite a long time in the challenges. I really honestly like pretty much every picture that was submitted. However, there's one caveat with this. A lot of you submitted converging lines.
And
had this been a converging lines contest, oh my gosh, I never would be able to pick a winner. So I'm being a stickler here with the vertical lines thing, and I've decided to go with an image from Kimberly Bergman Treffser.
Yes.
Okay. That's I'm just not sure on that last word, name, but in any case, she has an image. It's just titled iPhone 7 Plus Snapseed, but it's a black and white picture. I think it's black and white.
It looks like it to me.
yeah, we'll go with it's black and white. And it's a picture of a bench, and it looks like it might be facing like a pond or a creek or something, and covered in snow. And this bench is like it's like a metal bench, and the backing of it is just like these like 2-inch wide metal slats. And, you know, those are what makes the vertical lines in the picture. And it's just very striking because it's a snowy picture. The bench is black. You know, it's kind of high contrast, and it's just hard not to stop at this picture and really look at it. It's very awesome.
Yeah, and it's showing what winter should actually look like too.
It's actually snowing.
Yes,
in the picture.
Yeah, and it looks like she used a circular tilt shift effect in the image. So it is really trying to draw your eye towards the center where everything is in focus,
I don't know.
Where the edges are darker.
Vignette.
Thank you. Jeez. Why wasn't my brain working? So,
'cause it's late.
I know. So yeah, I love this image. It's a great image. So, congratulations, Kimberly, you are post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and Instagram and submit your images. On Facebook, we have the weekly photo challenge that we pinned to the top of our group, and the current weekly photo challenge is up there. So you can look through and see what everybody is doing. Submit your own. Go through some of the older weekly photos challenges and submit images there if you missed out. We would love to see those images too. But this is a great way for us to be able to not only see your work, but to show everybody else what you can do with those images. And it's great for our album art because it brings life and color to our website. And we love it. We love to be able to show off what our listeners are doing. So, if you want to participate, please join us on the Facebook group, submit your images to the Instagram hashtag Tiny Shutter, and, go take a look at what people have already done. All right. Well, cool. So this week's weekly photo challenge is depth of field. And I look forward to seeing what you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, I would say, you could do it any which way you want. So if you want to use an app like we've been talking about or however you want to do it, everything's fair game with depth of field.
Sweet. All right. Well, let me say this real quick. I'm going to talk about the stylus lens next week. But I am going to let you guys know I did try my old carousel on the new case, and it works. So what I'm going to be doing this week is doing a side-by-side comparison because I have already noticed a couple differences in the carousels, and one of the lenses, the fisheye lens, there is a huge difference between the new one and the old one, and I think it's for the good. So I'm going to do some side-by-side comparisons and talk about both revolvers and what I like and what I don't like about the new case. So stay tuned for that. All right, Matt, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I'm losing my voice again.
Well, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter, where I've actually recently become a lot more active, at M. Hoffman Photo.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, links to whatever we're talking about, whether it's apps or devices or news articles. You can find links to our Facebook group and YouTube by going to tinyshutter.com. Like I mentioned last week, we do have that Amazon store on our website. Be sure to go check it out. We actually are going to be adding probably twice as many things to what there is right now. Just got to get Matt Mark onto it. Things that we talk about that we're going to be that we use will be on there. And I'm actually going to review a solar powered power bank that I just got in the mail yesterday, and see how it compares to the other two that I have. But that is going to be actually one of the links that I'll have on the Amazon store. So go check that out there too. I guess that's it. So good show, Matt.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I look forward to seeing what you guys are going to do with our weekly photo challenge. So, all right. Well, Matt, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Polsky, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, claiming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Barely.